Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, or as we celebrate Independence Day, quite literally,
yes,
figuratively, and more ways than one. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the fighter pilot president.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fitting, man. It is we were just talking just a second ago, pre-show. This is July. We are recording this on July 2nd, 2021, exactly 25 years to the day this movie hit theaters. And so that's kind of cool. And we're going to release it. You guys will be listening to it on a day we normally release Monday morning. You'll be listening to it on Sunday, the day that the movie takes its namesake from. So, ha! Aren't we fucking clever? After a long ass week at work where I'm not sleepy. I've gotten sleep, but I'm just physically shot. Like, I don't think I can barely lift things right now. My arms and legs are just tired. So I deserve to be a little bit clever, if I so may say so myself. Even there, if y'all go. Don't find it funny, I thought it was funny.
What was funny?
Exactly, Long. It was funny. Okay, just go with it.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, never mind. Anyway,
just take it at face value, Long.
I like turtles. Just
turtles.
Give me credit, bitch. Okay, how are you, fellas?
Man,
good. It's Friday.
Yes,
beginning of my 5-day vacation.
Fuck off! I don't even want to hear about that shit.
Oh, boo-hoo.
We finally got my parents to watch the kiddos. We went out on a date night this week. Finally, the first time in a long time, it feels like.
Long and I don't want to hear about that. We don't know what that is. You know, we don't get no nookies. Well, so we don't have date nights.
Well, Long and I will definitely have hot pot next time. Next time, that's where we'll go instead of a Korean barbecue. We're gonna have to get some ramen.
Oh, wait. See, Long, now he's planning your date night with him. Wait, what? That went south fast.
I guess if that's where it
travels. What's wrong with you, man?
South. I'm just saying. Yeah, I have.
Where is the show even going today? I don't even know.
Quit staring
at me. I like turtles.
Yeah, turtles. That's where it's going.
What the fuck are y'all talking about with turtles?
If you know, you know, Mark. If you know, you know.
I think I want to know.
I'm just being random.
Yeah.
Weirdos. Anyway. I guess before we get into too far, Comic Palooza is happening in a couple weeks. And last year, you know, everything was canceled. Pandemic year, you know, people don't want to talk about 2020. And, you know, things are starting to kind of come back to a sense of normalcy this year. So they are moving forward with the convention this year. It's going to be much more low-key. First four only the convention center. A few less guests than normal. But the podcast program is still alive and kicking. And we weren't...
Like a cockroach.
We weren't really going to do anything with it this year because we kind of felt like... Because live shows are fun if it's set up properly. Like when we do Misfit Toy Shows, which we weren't able to get in before... Compalooza, but hopefully we can do one there soon. But live shows in those situations, like at the convention center, are sometimes a bit difficult and a bit audio quality. I think maybe the year we had the 501st people in there, it's the only year the show came out sounding decent. Audio quality is always just bad in those situations. But we are gonna do something with Compalooza. I will be on our friends of the show, Matinee Heroes. He has a game show type thing called Cast Off. And I'm going to be on that on Saturday.
Who are you squaring off against?
I think Erica, I believe. I'm not really sure.
Oh, man.
I just have to do the rules. I have to read everything.
They're boned.
Okay.
But on Sunday at the show, we are going to be presenting a little panel slash comedy slash whatever the hell happens kind of thing called the do we have an official title for it? The Legacy of Arnold Schwarzenegger, basically.
I guess so. Yeah.
We're going to kind of
the Ballad of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, we're going to do a retrospective of the career of Arnold Schwarzenegger, basically, and look at his highlights and have some fun and let our co-host here, Matt, do his Arnold voice thing. I think Long's going to work on some funny stuff too, because he's good at that kind of stuff, and see what we can come up with. And we'll have a few prizes for some trivia questions at the end of it. It'll be a 45-minute thing, I believe. I believe we're on at 10:30 on Sunday when the convention kind of starts. So we will be participating in Compalooza. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Wanted to officially...
I'm ecstatic.
I can tell you're so ecstatic.
Yeah, it's going to be good, yeah.
And but it'll be fun. But Long is kind of like me though. Long holds his excitement, and he gets into it at the moment. I'm kind of like that too. I'm kind of like, yeah. And once I'm there and I get into the moment, I usually end up enjoying it. I think Long, you can agree. You and me are kind of alike like that. We're like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Once we get there,
yeah. The lead up to it is never the fun part.
Once we get there, we sit down, we see the film we want to see, or we buy that new toy or something. We get more excited. Me and Long are a lot
like
than that.
Kind of like being a grower, not a shower.
I'm not even going to compare this to it. Well, that note, let's start today's show officially. Let's get into Download This, where we tell people what we streamed, watched, checked out this week. And I will go first. I only watched one thing, but it was a good thing. I finally watched Batman The Long Halloween, the part one, the adaptation from the very popular Tim Sale comic book, which I've actually never read the book, believe it or not, because how big of a Batman fan I am. But I really like the adaption. It's a little slower. It's not action packed, but it's a mystery story being built, and it takes place in the early days of Batman's career, I guess, where he, Harvey Dent's not Two-Face yet. He's just Harvey Dent, and Batman's coming with the realization like he has to also be a detective on this job, not just, you know, to scare people. And it's a really well-written mystery story about a killer that is taking out crime bosses every holiday, starting at Halloween and then moving on to Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And Batman and Jim Gordon think they've cracked the case towards the end of part one. But, of course, it turns out they didn't, and it's to be continued till part two comes out. But it's really well animated. It almost has an Art Deco look like Batman the Animated Series did. So I really like that, because so far, since DC kind of rebooted their animated universe, I haven't liked the animation a whole lot. Like, I haven't hated it, but I don't like it like the old stuff. But this one I really enjoyed. Jason Eccles does a really good job as Batman in it. Josh Duhamel, I think, plays a Harvey Dent in it, and he does a good job. But so far with the new DC anime stuff, this has been the best one. I really like it a lot, and I'm looking forward to part two and seeing how it ends. And from what I understand, it's pretty faithful to the comics as far as an adaption. So well done so far. Good stuff, man. But I don't know if it's on HBO Max yet, or it probably will be in a couple weeks since it just came out. But check out Batman: The Long Halloween Part One. I think
it's you have to check it out.
Enjoy it. That's about all I really watched. As far as Loki, man, I've been slacking. I got to get caught up on that show. I know you guys are probably caught up. I think it's a little burnout for me, the Marvel stuff. I just felt like I needed a little break. And I am kind of looking forward to seeing Black Widow, and then I'll get caught up on Loki. You know, sometimes you just need that little step away from stuff.
Yeah, I just don't want to miss anything in Loki that might have something to do with Black Widow.
It's going to have nothing to do with Black Widow. I can almost guarantee that.
Okay.
From everything I've read about the reviews of Black Widow, you cannot even see it. You're not going to miss anything. Like, it does. They say it's good, but it does nothing to move the Marvel Universe forward.
Okay. Yeah.
They're not retconning it like we thought they would. They're not bringing her back to life or anything like that. From what I've read, it's pretty much a straightforward prequel.
Cool, man. I guess I'll go next. I I did watch, I watched Luca last week with the kids, but forgot to mention it. I do like the Italian part of it, and that's the lore of you know, when they get wet, they turn into fishes and stuff. And yeah, I mean, I thought it was solid. You know, good really good animation. The animation, like you said, was great. Yeah, it was a solid movie. But I did some research and some homework on Arnold, so I saw that Killing Gunther, which is something I knew that he had made, but I was like, oh, it looked, you know, not as Arnold-ish as I was expecting. I like, you know, 80s Arnold. That's my favorite Arnold era, 80s and 90s Arnold. And, you know, the post-Governor stuff, you know, it's touch and go for me. But, you know, I'll always watch it. And I thought it was solid, you know, overall. I think it picks up really good at the end. And there's some hilarious parts where he's like, yeah, it's a documentary style. So these guys are like documenting them trying to kill Arnold, who's supposed to be the most badass assassin. And at the end, he's like, yeah, you thought you were documenting me. I'm documenting you. Here's my cameraman. Yeah, what's up? Yeah, fuck you. I'm going to fuck you up. And he fucks him up. And then he becomes a country music star or something. And he's like, I sound like George Strait. I don't know. It's a good watch. Yeah, for $5, it's not bad. So it's on Amazon if you want to buy it. I was told to watch Sabotage. My cousin's husband's an Afghanistan works in the Afghanistan embassy as a sniper. And he's like, oh, you know, us military guys really like that movie. And but it's one of those movies that's rated about what his other post-Governor stuff is. So, I'll maybe watch it next week.
That's actually probably the only post – well, not counting that last Terminator movie. But,
yeah.
Well, did Genesis come out after? Yeah. Not counting the two Terminator movies. That's probably the only other one I've seen. And I remember not liking most of it except the last – if I remember right, the last 30 minutes of Sabotage is apeshit crazy. And that was probably the best part of the movie, if I remember right. But most of it did hold my attention. It was just like, eh, yeah.
Yeah, because he said he thought it was on Netflix. Yeah. Maybe the military gets awesome Netflix or something that we don't get, but it wasn't on Netflix when I looked for it. So
it's a David Ayer.
I may buy it.
It's a David Ayer film, actually.
Okay.
He directed that, yeah.
So that'll be next on my list. I watched Maggie, which I had started at one point and never finished it. I thought that was a different performance from Arnold, and not bad. Decent movie. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, Demolition Man. We talked about Demolition Man earlier. I think it was pre-show, but yeah, watched Demolition Man, and man, it's just one of those movies I'll put on every once in a while. I think it's hilarious. And then there's a Goosebumps. I don't know if you ever read the Fear Street stuff. I never read the adult Fear Street stuff. I read
the Arl Stein.
Yeah, Arl Stein. And it's rated R. I mean, there's slashers in it. There's, you know, witches and stuff. And it not bad. It's a three-part thing. I watched the first part. It's about an hour and 40 minutes. But it goes by pretty quick. A little teen drama stuff in there, but just enough to keep the story moving. And it mainly focuses on the monsters that they encounter. And I can't wait for the next one. I'm kind of interested in it. And then, of course, I watched this last episode of Loki, which I won't get into it unless Long has seen it.
I've seen it.
Okay.
And I hated that cliffhanger ending.
Man, dude.
But did you see the the end scene credit too?
Yeah. The
okay.
Yeah, that was the one with the meme that I sent you with Owen Wilson.
Yeah, I got the context after seeing the meme.
Cool. But yeah, man, I was sad. I was sad after watching that episode. I won't say why I'm sad, but I'm a little sad.
And, it really picks up, Mark. We need you to jump on the horn on that.
For real, it picks up quick. I feel like it's steadily, you know, it was steadily picking up, and then now it's like, you know, boom, gas is being pushed, you know, through the engine, and we're moving. But yeah, if you haven't gotten caught up on Loki, get caught up on Loki. It's more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be. Could be the best of these Marvel series. Who knows? But that's about it.
Yeah, for me, I also watch Loki. So Matt pretty much touched up on the main points, and can't wait to hear your reaction on it, Mark. And after watching this feature film that we're doing, Independence Day, I actually watched the sequel right afterwards. And it's kind of a guilty pleasure movie. It's not as good as the first movie, but I don't know. There's some elements on it I really like. It's kind of cool to watch the special effects upgrade.
The battle
from 1996. Huh?
The final fight, the end of battle's good.
The last 20 minutes is good. And, I enjoy it.
Oh, the sequel.
It's a little convoluted in the beginning.
Right, and then the sequel, we'll talk about it in a minute, but after watching the original, there's one thing the sequel's missing, and that's Will Smith. I mean, it's just missing that persona, and that's really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just what it's missing. I mean, the other actors try.
Not everyone else except Will.
Yeah, the other actors try, but they just don't have that charisma that he brings to the original film, you know, and that attitude. So,
yeah, we got the Frank Stallone of the Hemsworth.
Yes. Frank Stallone. Is it Liam Hemsworth that's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't know. Was he in anything else besides
Hunger Games this movie?
He was in Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah, okay. He's love interest.
He's had a few other bit parts and different things. I can't think of anything major he's been in franchise wise. And
right.
Thank God they did not. You know, there was talks a couple years ago Hollywood was going to remake The Raid with him and his brother. I'm kind of glad that didn't happen. Nothing against Chris. Nothing against Chris or Liam, but. You can't remake The Raid with a couple white guys that don't know martial arts.
Expendables 2. He was in the first Independence Day?
Who?
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth's part. Yeah. I'm trying to look what part he played. Because it's giving him credit for it.
Or it's for something. If it's Wikipedia, I wouldn't believe it.
Kid? In the first
one? Maybe it's just a related movie that they have on here.
That's probably well, I don't think he was in Independence Day.
It says Liam Hemsworth movies and it had it on there. And I was like, there ain't no way.
He didn't come on the scene until the
2010s.
Yeah,
he was probably, a Google. Yeah.
I mean, he would have been 6 years old when Independence Day came out. So yeah.
Yeah, no.
But that is today's feature film. Kid. Independence Day from 1996, directed by Roland Emmerich. Basic way to summarize this film is that just before the July 4th weekend, aliens decide to invade Earth and they aren't friendly and we have to fight back. That's pretty much the way to summarize this movie. And this was a huge film. Trailer started as early as Christmas before, or as a simple teaser blowing up the White House. It had everyone super excited. I was thinking back on to like what made this film such a big hit. I don't know if it was the times we were in, but this film just had a certain buildup to it. And when it came out that July weekend, people were ready to go to see a giant disaster alien flick. And it did very well at the box office. But rewatching this week, my first thoughts on it is this is one of the greatest cheese flicks maybe ever made. You know, it hits all the cliche points throughout the film, but yet it's also so fucking watchable on so many levels because, like, the performances from the actors are actually really good. They all, like, really buy into it, so they sell this really overly dramatic piece of fiction to you, and you can't help but be absolutely entertained throughout the entire film. And I think that's the best way to describe Independence Day. And it, you know, it has some emotional parts to it, has some really exciting parts to it, has a lot of tension to it. And I saw this in theaters, you know, and it was awesome to see on the big screen. It had been some years since I rewatched it. I thoroughly enjoyed rewatching it this week. And what are y'all's initial thoughts?
For me, I mean, I first saw this in the theater, and I was really into it. And I've never really seen how, you know, national monuments that we know and love get destroyed in such a way.
Right.
That's devastating yet epic at the same time. And they went to Houston, man.
Yes.
just a little glimpse of Houston being destroyed. Yeah, I was really into this when it came out. And I was so obsessed with it even when it... I just love the sense of scale on the buildup.
Yes.
In the first half of the movie. It's like you really feel small when those large saucers emerge from the fire clouds.
Yeah.
And the sense of, what was it, futility when our planes go up against their saucers and their little fighters, and they all are shielded and stuff. And it was really cool because it's like the first time we in a modern setting where we get to see, you know, our modern military going up against an alien race, which is kind of cool too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure War of the Worlds for its time, people are like, had the same feeling when they were watching those saucers mm-hmm. come out, shoot their sparks, their death rays.
This is absolutely modern day War of the Worlds. You know?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's why it works. Mm-hmm. Because really, I mean, what? All we've had were just, what, friendly alien movies?
For quite a while there. I mean, there became, after Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you're right, there became a period of just a lot of friendly alien flicks.
Yeah. Yeah, I can name a few, like E.T., of mm-hmm. course, Mac and Me,
yep.
mm-hmm. The Explorers,
yep.
And what was that other one? Oh, Cocoon, mm-hmm. about the old people. Yeah. People don't talk about that one anymore.
No. Wolford.
But, and the special effects, I feel like they still hold up. Oh, I mean, yeah. The practical effects, and there was some CGI in there, here and there, but yeah. Awesome movie.
I also saw this in theaters. I was 9. I think my aunt Laura took me and my cousin Henry to see it because she loved Aliens. And, you know, we watched this, thought it was awesome. Got the video game, played the video game. Video game's decent. Yeah, man, just, you know, the fight at the end was probably the coolest part. The only thing is, there's just this, I feel like this dead spot where they try and just increase the character development. And I'm okay with doing it on Jeff Goldblum or Will Smith, even Vivica A. Fox. But like, you know, there's like some other small characters that they try and elaborate on or generic characters.
I had the biggest crush on Vivica A. Fox.
Man. Yes.
She is so beautiful.
She is, man. And too bad she wasn't in more of Kill Bill Volume 1. But she was good as... she wasn't Black Mama. She was... Man, Vermillion or something like that. I forget her code name in Kill Bill. But, man, I haven't seen her in a while on the screen. But, yeah, man. And for some reason, I thought maybe they had... I remembered like Jada Pinkett being his. I thought they got his wife to play his wife in that movie, which I think I like Vivica A. Fox better. But yeah, I mean, solid movie. I think that's the only opportunity the movie has. The action's good. I like the comedy that they throw in there here and there with Randy Quaid's character. I felt like there should have been more maybe to his moment at the end. It feels a little rushed, but maybe it's just meant to be a quick, you know, kind of thing. Sacrificing himself for his kids. And then Baldwin. We got a Baldwin brother in the movie too.
We do?
Is this glass bulletproof? No, sir. Oh, psh, psh,
psh. That's right. I forget. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also played mother in Full Metal Jacket.
So
I guess he got promoted.
He went on. That's the same Baldwin went on to be in Serenity, right? In Firefly, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then Harry Connick Jr. is in the film too. One of his early acting.
Yeah, he was an annoying character.
Yeah.
I thought he was annoying. I'm glad he died in the film.
And then Spinner from Star Trek in this film.
Yeah.
Spiner.
Spiner.
Yeah.
I thought he died in this film. Now I watched the sequel, and he's like, oh, okay, he's still alive.
Thought so, too.
I need to go back and rewatch the sequel. But yeah, no, you guys hit good points. And think about Independence Day as it's a modern-day War of the Worlds. It's definitely a throwback to classic sci-fi films with modern ties. But I said earlier, it definitely hits your cliche points. You know, you got all these character developments with, like, you know, broken relationships, and they're tied it up in the moments of disaster, you know, a president trying to do the right thing, people panicking, acting crazy. It's got all your disaster trope flicks. And in fact, Roland Emmerich has kind of made a living off making action or making disaster flicks after this movie. You know, he went on to make 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow, and it kind of became a thing for him to just do, to do these disaster films, which, you know, in some ways, his Godzilla remake was kind of a disaster film, and it just became a thing he did after he was unable to secure the rights to Stargate. He's like, well, I guess I'll just make disaster films, since he never got to make his Stargate trilogy he wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
But this is arguably probably the best of his disaster flicks that he did. And it's something to be said about that. It's the first one he did, and it's really good. It's got, like you said, all these one-liners in it. It's got a couple of, like, great movie speeches. Will Smith has some great lines. Like, I really think it's hilarious where he punches the alien. I'm just like, that's such a soldier. That's such a badass soldier thing to do. Like, oh yeah, you're gonna spit at me. I'm just gonna punch you, motherfucker. You know, but you buy into it, you know.
Dragging him and kicking him.
Yeah. and this is one of Will Smith's early roles after he, you know, came out from doing The Fresh Prince and one of his first big hit films, you know, when he moved from television to movies. And in fact, this you could argue this is the movie that made Will Smith a household name and star after this to move on to bigger movies. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think he did Bad Boys in the same year, possibly.
Yeah.
Or close to it. Yeah. You know, so this is Will's 96 is Will Smith's year to start busting out from television to the big screen with Independence Day. You know, Jeff Goldblum is a, found himself in some of the biggest movies of the 90s. You know, he was in Jurassic Park, then he's in this, and he, in fact, he kind of repeats his line from Jurassic Park where it says, you must go faster in the spaceship.
Yep.
The whole idea of putting a virus into the aliens, that definitely is a War of the Worlds, homage. Yeah, you know, because
just like the bacteria.
Know, yeah, in War of the Worlds, they die from a bacteria. So it definitely buys into that stuff. And one thing I rewatched this too, like, I really like the design of the aliens and the ships in this because they're not, like Long mentioned earlier, they're really epic to scale and it makes you feel like a sense of tension in the film. And then the aliens, I like them because they're kind of different, you know? It's not the same old two-eyed, big-headed aliens. You know, they made them look a little scarier, a little more strange, and I thought that was cool, you know?
Yeah, tentacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember they did action figures in this movie and the figures were huge. These huge tentacled aliens. They took up huge boxes and pretty neat looking.
And they came with floppy disks too. You got a floppy disk, an ID4 floppy disk with each one. It had special movie content.
Oh, and, really? You remember that?
Yeah. That's yeah. Crazy. I think I had an Alien, and maybe one Soldier character, but it's, I can't find it. My parents donated a lot of toys, and I lost a lot of them. Like I lost my Cloud City, the double cab, little Cloud City spaceship. I remember losing that because my mom was like, I told her I was too old for toys at one point, and she was like, okay, I'm going to donate them. She gave them away. I had some of that stuff.
Yeah, this movie had a lot of merchandise. This was a huge summer blockbuster film with merchandising everywhere, toys and restaurants and things like that. It came out July 4th weekend, so it's a huge opening weekend for the theaters. Mm-hmm. So it was a big deal. It had a Star Wars tie to it. The first trailer for the Star Wars Special Edition aired in front of this film. So there are people that were curious about that and went to the theaters to see the Star Wars trailer, because this was put out by 20th Century Fox also. So there was a period. Now I think we take for granted, once theaters get back to normal, there's big movies coming out all the time. But back in the day, man, it was from May till August was your big summer season. You had huge event blockbuster movies like this. They had to wait till Christmas time for more blockbusters. And now that they're releasing blockbusters all year round, it's not quite that 3 or 4 month season like it used to be. So when Independence Day came out, that was a really big deal to build up to this movie coming out. And everyone was talking about it. I remember people talking about going to see this.
Yeah, it was advertised in front of in the Super Bowl, right? In one of the Super Bowl ads.
Yeah.
And it's
pretty sure I saw this at
everything you knew was destroyed.
Yeah.
And then they used that White House scene again in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Anyway.
You mean the stock footage of that?
Stock footage.
Check. I will blow you up with a laser. And then he's like, fire the laser. And they think the White House is blown up. And he's like, actually, that was film excerpts from the movie Independence Day.
Anyways.
Bill Pullman, man.
Dude, is his movie speech in this not great? It's like, it's somewhat cheesy, but it's also like, it kind of gets you pumped up,
Yeah, pretty good delivery.
Yep.
And, we all gotta go quietly into the night.
Right. It's a bit on the nose, but yeah.
On the nose. Right. But that's how old action movies were, though. The leader, the big hero always had these big speeches, And he uh-huh. does a good job with it.
Yeah.
And
of course, Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Quaid's great in this movie. You buy into his character. He's a guy who, he feels like a failure and he just wants to correct himself. And his sacrifice is totally believable because, he's that all-American guy that's going to save the world. And you're like, sure, okay, mm-hmm. And then, then you have the other side of that where, you felt proud about his sacrifice. But you have they turn on the tearjerkers when the president's wife dies and, he has to tell his daughter, yes, mommy's sleeping now. You're like, good Lord, that's horrible. And mm-hmm. then it turns into July 4th right after that, as the movie takes place over like 3 days. That's a disaster flick trope too. They always have the real dramatic moments to tie in with the exciting save the day moments. It's just too bad the sequel took so long to come out. Cause Roland Emmerich had plans for this to be a franchise and, I don't know what happened. I'd have to go research it back in the late 90s as to why the sequel never got made sooner, considering how mm-hmm. huge of a hit this was.
800 million in the first week, right?
Yeah.
Worldwide.
But there had to be an issue behind it why the studio didn't want a sequel, in the 90s, even now, everything is sequel happy. Studios have been sequel happy going back to the days of Jaws and Star Wars. So it's a wonder that the sequel never got made. I remember at one point even a logo being released saying ID4 Part 2. But, you know, and that was it. But nothing ever happened of it. So until the Insurgents movie came out many, many years later.
Yep.
You guys got a favorite scene in this movie?
It's quite
the destruction scene.
Oh, the destruction scene where everything's blowing up, fire going everywhere.
Countdown finally immenses, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite epic. And like, wow, this is happening, you know? Yeah. I'd agree. That's probably the coolest scene in the movie.
Yeah. It's basically, I was thinking like, well, if we watched Terminator Judgment Day and Judgment Day actually happened, well, we're watching the movie that's portraying it in a way, you know, like, but, yeah, the destruction scene and definitely some the dogfight scenes.
Yeah. Those are fun.
Yeah.
Especially whenever they don't have any shields and they can finally pick them off.
Yeah, I like the destruction scene, too. And the whole end fight, too. Yeah, it's cool to see President gets up there and flies with him. And, you know, and Randy Quaid does his thing. And just, you know, it's just it ends up with a very satisfying ending to an epic movie. You know, and it absolutely, I think, holds up 25 years later. It's still a fun watch. Special effects are actually still really good even 25 years later. And, yeah, I bought it on Vudu for $5. It was in, you know, high definition, and it looks really good still. It just a fun film. I if I was to rank it, I'd probably give it an A-. You know, I don't know if I can quite go as high as an A and A+ because it's got some tropes to it and some yeah. like well, I agree with Matt. There's a little dead spot in the middle of the film that kind of slows it down, but you know, as you're trying to further develop characters that you didn't really need to, because at that point, after all the destruction, you just want to see more action. But
You had the chance to convert that dead time into making it more of a global thing. I mean, you do show soldiers and military from around the world that are supposedly, you know, dealing with the same thing, but you never see destruction
right
on their side.
I thought about that. Remember when this was made? Right after Desert Storm, American patriotism was really high.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to think about the
and
time.
And this is pre-9/11, too.
Pre-9/11 and post-Desert Storm. So you got to think about that. You know, so you're going to show more of the American side of things. You know, but yeah. You got to think of the time the film was made, too.
Yeah. And destruction, theme buildings and stuff getting destroyed was nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I remember post-9/11. Things got a little serious. They didn't show very many, you know, cityscape destruction as they did right after 9/11.
Yeah.
So.
And in fact, they started doing a lot of cityscape destructions, like movies like Battle of Los Angeles. It's like all of a sudden we can't destroy New York because of what happened on 9/11. So we're going to destroy the West Coast. There was a real movement to that, too. Like the Transformers films, like on purpose, took place like in Chicago. Because they didn't want to use, like, you know, big cities. Like, you know, there was a period like that. Like, couldn't mess with New York for a while there. You know, which is understandable, you know.
Yeah, trying to, you know, not be too close to a touchy subject.
Yeah. So so I gave it A-. What'd you guys give it?
I say B+. I think it's B+.
I give it an A.
I think the nostalgic of it makes me rank it a little bit higher.
Yeah.
It still holds up for me, and I haven't seen it in over a decade.
Yeah,
so I was having fun watching this movie the other night. Yeah. So
definitely an enjoyable movie. Which leads us to our top.
Back when times are simpler.
Oh yeah,
yeah, man, dude.
And I think that's what makes
picking up CC's pizza. And
I think the fun thing about this movie is you say times are simpler. Is that even the film industry? You can tell how much has changed. Like this is. This film just goes out and tries to have fun and not do anything too serious. Like if they made Independence Day now, they'd probably try to have some political statement in it, or you know, there'd be nothing against female heroes, but you know, there'd be a female hero in there next to Will Smith instead of Jeff Goldblum next to him. You know, and it's just you know, and this movie was made in a time where you didn't think about that. You just went to the movie theater to escape. You know, yeah. You didn't think about the diversity of the film or anything like that. That's a good point, though. Talk about different eras that films are made in. And this is just a fun film to watch, which is going to lead us to a fun top five, which I'm top five things you're going to do if you know aliens are on the way. And this is completely open. It can be anything. In fact, I'm probably was pretty crude on this. I'm not going to lie. I have a couple that aren't as crude, but I don't know. I'm sitting here doing this. I'm like, I have no idea what I do, so I'm just going to have some fun with it. So I'll start.
Yeah.
At number five.
Go for it.
I'd get a hooker. Fuck it. Aliens are coming. You know, spend some money, have a good time. I mean, I'd make
there
sure.
You go.
I'd make sure it's a clean one. Don't get me wrong. You know, but why not? Long face.
I was waiting for you to put cocaine in front of that. Cocaine and hookers. I will say that I started off my list normal, but it does, you know, I was like, you know what, let's have fun with it. But I put gather supplies and find a, you know, meeting point with my family and stuff.
See, boring. I stayed away from all the cliche stuff.
Yeah. That's the only cliche thing I have on there. Everything else is fun.
My number five is hoard toilet paper.
2020 all over again.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, because COVID has nothing to do with toilet paper, and I could see alien invasion doing the same thing.
Like, how are we going to wipe our ass?
Right.
Well, mine's not going to get any better. At number four, I'd go get a massage from one of those special places.
Starting to sense a theme here.
Yeah, those places that say happy foot.
It continues.
But they don't mean happy foot. Three. They mean happy something else.
I mean, why not? You know, I'd always be too scared to go one of those. Like, I'd get arrested. But, you know, if aliens are coming, whatever.
Whatever.
In jail, why not?
I've got to call Adam Sandler to challenge aliens to a Pac-Man tournament because he defeated aliens with a Pac-Man Donkey Kong.
Terrible movie he made?
Yep.
I never saw that movie. So.
The kids wanted to watch it, it's bad.
Yeah. Wow. My number four is Hyde. That's it.
Hide.
And kiss your ass goodbye.
Hide. Yeah.
Oh, my number three doesn't get any better, but I go to a strip club with somebody and go the extra mile, if you know what I'm saying.
There we go.
Assuming they're open.
Yeah, assuming they're open. Yeah,
they're always open, man.
Let's go have a party with some strippers before the aliens come.
You got the buffet.
That's right. With the free buffet.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. Alien special. I've got recruit Michael Biehn and Sigourney Weaver as security detail. I mean, you can't go wrong. You know, they could probably slay some aliens. Maybe. Yeah. If those props that they got to keep still work.
My number three... camp at Matt's house because he has guns.
Yes. Form a defensive perimeter.
Actually, no, to end myself before the aliens do.
Oh, no.
I'm joking. That got dark.
Oh. Well, that note,
left turn.
I think at number two, I would buy something outrageous. And I don't mean like anything naughty. I mean like, I don't know, a super rare Star Wars figure that I don't own or something, or a rare piece of Star Wars memorabilia, just something outrageous. I'm like, I don't need any money anymore. I'm going to go buy something crazy that I always wanted just to say I could do it before the aliens took me to my reward.
You can buy one of those tortillas where they say Jesus' face is in it. You like that crazy?
That's not, that's stupid. That's not outrageous.
Number two, I have find Michael Jordan and have them challenge the aliens to a basketball game in hopes of winning back Earth. He could still do it.
Sometimes Long's face, it's like he's absorbing what we say, and he's just like, you fucking...
He's like,
what? Yeah, I don't know.
Why are you all my friends? I have no idea.
We're on number two, right?
Yeah.
Yes, number two.
Number two, I will beg to join their side. So I can rat people out. And then, so it's like, hey, I'm alive. It's... Survival of the fittest. Become like, a collaborator.
Be like, beep, boop, beep.
Give up, I'm an alien. Give up, betray plans to the aliens.
Yes.
Yeah. At number one, I would to go on the ultimate road trip. I'm like, you know what? Maybe the roads will be crowded, but I'm going to be like, you know, like in the movies, there's that person who's determined to get where they're going. That's me. Load the kids up in the car and like, we're going to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame or something. I don't know. We would just do it and go.
Nice. I'm gonna take a page out of Kirk's book and say, learn the language of the aliens, then mate with their women.
Kirk's book.
Yeah, Captain Kirk. Learn the language of the aliens, Kirk. Then mate with their women.
I was missing yeah. the reference there. I heard Kirk.
Over time, our differences will subside.
Yeah.
Well, number one, right?
Yes.
Yep. Number one. Well, it's kind of in the same vein as what Matt was saying, but I will prep myself to be sexually molested by the aliens. So.
Only the females, though.
Do they even have a gender?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Aliens.
Who knows? They could just be aliens. Yeah.
Well, you know, long at this point, be like, it's the most action I've had in 10 years. You know, fuck it. Right?
Yeah.
Sorry, long. I was a little bored on you, man.
Tentacles.
It's like, it feels
not that orifice. It's amazing.
Oh. Well, that was fun.
Yes, that was fun.
Yeah. And more fun than doing top five alien invasion movies. I'd do something different. But, so.
Yeah, man. Plus, I think we did that with Mars Attacks.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. Had to come up with something different.
So let's do some news before we preview next week's film. Speaking of aliens, this alien TV show, man, it's still happening. I kind of forgot about that. And I guess it's going to be like... class warfare type film with the aliens or TV show with the involving the xenomorphs, they're saying. So I guess the TV show is going to be told from the perspective of the xenomorphs from what I'm reading about this. It's still going to be on FX. I don't know, man. I love the Alien franchise, but like, why can't we just get more films and make good films? I don't know. TV show, we'll see. I mean, you got to really do it right if you're doing television. So, I don't know. I guess I'd feel better about
it. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I think intrigued is a good word. I think I'd feel better about if it's going to be streaming. You know, FX is still network television. So it's like, yeah, we'll see, you know, how they do it. I don't know how I feel about it. We'll see. But I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Patty Jenkins has been talking. They're working on the Rogue Squadron script right now that she's going to direct. And she has openly talked that she's they're pulling from some of the comics and novels from the pre-Disney days, that they're not going to ignore the history of the Rogue Squadron. I think that's kind of cool, you know, because there were quite a few Rogue Squadron books and comics out there and with a lot of history behind it. So it seems like she gets it, man, like what Star Wars is and what Rogue Squadron is, and I'm looking forward to her film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder who's going to be in it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Oh, Chris Pine's got to be in it.
Got to be.
Chris so Pine. Pine's going to be in the Star Trek universe and the Star Wars universe?
Yeah.
Could be.
Pilot. That's Paramount's fault for being cheap.
Yeah.
They would have had Star Trek IV going, but they didn't. They weren't willing to pay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're SOL in my book.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just don't have much faith.
We'll welcome Pine into the Star Wars universe. That's fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, look, Christian Bale's going to be in the next Thor movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's true. Marvel has, and Ryan Coogler have begun, they kind of quietly did this, but production has begun on Black Panther 2. So we'll see where this goes without Chadwick Boseman in it and see what they do. You know, I think all signs point to his sister possibly taking over as Black Panther, but I guess we got to trust in Marvel and what they're going to do with this film.
Yeah.
My personal beliefs were that as great as Chadwick was, I think no actor's bigger than the role, and I think T'Challa could have been recast. What he did is definitely iconic and important to Black culture and things of the nature to bring that hero to the big screen. But I also think that Chadwick would have wanted someone else to play the part too, and I felt like he should have been recast. But that's just my personal thoughts. And I know a lot of other people have thought about that too. Because, man, you're asking for some difficult storytelling techniques to write him out of it and to pull it off where it's believable. So hopefully Marvel and them can do it. We'll see how they do.
Yeah, they have the best best minds of the business.
And Coogler is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, I trust him that he's going to pull this off in a way that's fitting to Chadwick, that pays tribute to him and tells a good story. And so I think we can trust Ryan Coogler in doing that. And lastly, The Last of Us is finally in production also over at HBO. I never thought this would ever happen, that we'd get a adaption of that video game. But it is coming to HBO sometime next year, and production has officially started with Pedro Pascal playing Joel. And we'll see. Hopefully this is really well done. You know, so it could be a really cool show if they do it right.
Yeah. I've never played the first one.
Yeah. And so it should be fine. But that's all the news I had, though. Not a whole lot this week. So next week, we are going to feel the need for speed. And a movie that we were going to do this last year when Top Gun was supposed to come out, and it never came out. Now they pushed Top Gun back again till this fall. So we're going to go – well, Top Gun Maverick, that is. So we're going to finally do the original OG Top Gun.
Going to send you up against the best.
Yes, sir.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
I feel the need. The need for speed.
For 5 weeks, you're going to fly against the best fighter pilots in the world.
You guys really are cowboys.
I don't like you because you're unsafe.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
The wild card. Lies by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, I guess when I see something, I go right after it.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.
Gentlemen, this school is about combat. There are no points for second place.
You figured it out yet?
What's that?
Who's the best pilot?
No, I think I can figure that one out on my own.
Tom Cruise. Kelly McGillis. Top Gun.
A modern classic, of course. And this weekend is Tom Cruise's birthday. I think it's tomorrow. I believe his birthday is the 3rd. And so it's kind of become a running joke on the show over the years. We made little jokes about Tom Cruise and his birthday. So happy birthday, Tom Cruise. And originally we were doing Top Gun this weekend. And then we were like, man, we can't fucking pass up Independence Day on his 25th anniversary. So we pushed Top Gun back.
Yeah.
To do it after Tom's birthday. It should be a fun one to watch. This movie, when I bought it on Blu-ray last year, the digital copy came with a 4K digital copy, and it looks amazing in 4K. I mean, they remastered it really nicely, because it's funny, their 4K came out shortly after their Blu-ray release, but people that bought the Blu-ray were given the digital 4K upgrade, so that's pretty nice. So, of course, you guys have seen Top Gun many times, I'm sure. You know,
it's just once or twice here and there, times. But never really went out of my way to watch it.
But it's one of those movies. I mean, you're always going to remember the opening sequence, the music. You remember the jet fights and stuff. And so we'll see how it holds up, 20-something years later as we talk Top Gun on next week's show. But until then, keep staying safe. Thank you for listening. And the RebelRadioPodcast.com is where you find all your needs. And we do appreciate it. And that's all. This is Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the presidential pilot. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
That flows better.
Until next week, remember, as always, just go there and
do it.